Psalm 147, we're turning tonight. Psalm 147, we'll just read a few verses from the verse 11 to the end of the chapter. Psalm 147, verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion, for he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth the wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this short reading from his word. Let's bow for a moment's prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee tonight for the opportunity of meeting together in fellowship one with another and around the throne of the heavenly grace and the word of God. And we thank thee, our Father, for the music that we have heard and participated in. We bless thee, O God, that thou art a great God and worthy of our praise. Father, help us never to lose the song of the Lord. We ask your Father, too, that thou would quicken and refresh and bless each of thy children. We live in desperate times, O Lord. We need thy help and we need thy power. And so we ask of thee to look upon us and be pleased to send us a breath of God's revival. We ask your Father again, should there be a soul here tonight without God, without Christ, and without hope in this world or the world to come, O God, we pray that thou would save them by thy grace. Come now and speak to us, we pray, defeat the devil. And Father, we pray that thou would glorify thy Son, for we ask it in his name. Amen. This land of Canada the Lord has given to us is a land of four distinct seasons. We get to enjoy the delights of springtime. We enjoy the warmth of the summer season. Then we enjoy also the beauty of the fall season. And yes, we do to a degree enjoy the rigors of winter. I personally would not like to live in a place like we have up north where the Inuit live, where it is a land of perpetual snow. I don't think I'd be fitted for that sort of life. Nor would I want to live in a place that has the same temperature right through the year. I remember going to St. Patrick's Point in California years ago where the temperature never varies from 71 degrees at any time throughout the year, so we were told at that time. So I wouldn't like to live in a place that was all sunshine or that was all snow. I like the seasons that we have here, and each season helps us to appreciate the others. When you're sweltering through a boiling hot summer day here, it's always nice to think, well, there is colder weather coming and we'll be able to enjoy cooler days ahead. And then when we meet in a frosty and frigid day here in the winter, it's always nice to know that around the corner spring is coming and things will be much better as time goes on. Now in the winter season, we have snow and ice. We have snow came this week, and last Sunday in Northern Ireland we had snow. We had 18 days there, one day of rain, one day of snow. It was very good otherwise. But the snow and the ice we have now, and for young people, it's a time of joy. Skates and sleds and snowmobiles and skis and so on, and they enjoy it. And last Sunday, one of the little grandsons of the people we were staying with, the Crawfords, he come out in the snow, about 3 inches of snow, he come out with a smile from ear to ear. You'd think he'd never seen snow before. He was so happy to see it. The rest of us looked out with not quite so much smiling as he did and had. But young people, they enjoy it. When you get older, you have to face the slipping and the sliding and the sleet and the slush and the shoveling, so it's not quite so enjoyable. But folks, it is a good thing to remember that the world is a school, and God is teaching us, and He is our teacher, and He uses the blackboard of nature to instruct us. You have what we call the general revelation of nature, and from nature we learn a lot about God. Don't learn everything about Him, but from the general revelation of nature, we learn a lot about the Lord. And then we have the special revelation of the Word that shows us how great is our God. And sometimes you have to take both revelations together to get the meaning of the Word that the Lord is giving to us. And happy is the student that learns well the lessons that the Lord teaches them, both from nature and from the Word of God. I've been struck again by the verses at the end of this chapter, where it says in verse 16, He giveth snow like wool, He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes, He casteth forth His ice like morsels. And then the question, who can stand before His cold? So that's a portion there that is, of course, dealing directly with the natural snow and the hoarfrost and the ice and so on. But there is a lesson for us there. There's a spiritual lesson for us, because this morning the pastor was speaking to us about humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and speaking about the need for quickening and the need for revival. And this here, this chapter we have, and this illustration that the Lord has given us from the snow and the frost and the ice, is a wonderful lesson for us. And tonight I want to look at the cure for spiritual coldness. You find it here in this chapter of the Word. But the first thing we need to do is to focus on the greatness of the Lord, because it says, He giveth snow like wool. God is personally involved in His creation. And over in Job chapter 37 and verse 6 it says, For He, God, saith to the snow, Be thou on the earth. And so last Sunday in Northern Ireland, God gave a command and the snow obeyed and was on the earth, and it was very good. And this past week, the Lord gave command to the snow again here, Be thou on the earth, and the earth earth obeyed, and we have the snow round about us. Now, God reminds us that it's not the laws of nature that send snow, nor is the world wound up like a machine and does what it's supposed to do every so often. It tells us that God sendeth the snow, and also He says to the snow, Be thou on the earth, and it is on the earth. Our God is not a God afar off. He is a God who's intimately concerned about the world that He has made, and His hand is seen everywhere. You get some people who tell us today, oh, I don't see any sign or evidence of creationism. Well, I said, people, I got your blind. And I think of the words penned by Samuel Taylor Coleridge, the great British poet, and he spoke about atheism, which he likened to a small owl. Now, I got a problem with the word owl, because the way I say it is not the way you people say it. And he wrote this little poem, The Owlet, Atheism, sailing on obscene wings across the noon. Drops his blue fringed lids and shuts them close, and hooting at the glorious sun in the heaven, cries out, Where is it? His eyes are shut, he can't see it. And there's so many today who have taken on them the belief that there's no God, and they're crying out, Where is He? And the whole time, as the hymn says, heaven and nature sing, God is to be seen in every place. And probably not more so than in the snow that falls round about us, reminds us of His creative genius. Tells us here that He giveth the snow like wool. Now, if you were to take a box 2 foot square and 10 inches deep, that would hold 1 million snowflakes. Now, I didn't count them, I hasten to add, but it's not hard to work out the volume of one snowflake and work out the volume of a million snowflakes so they come up with the answer that you would get a million into a box 2 by 2 and 10 inches deep. You think of the billions and billions of snowflakes that fall in any given storm, and each one is hexagonal, each one is exquisite, and each one is different from its neighbor. It's unique in the true sense of the word. They've never been able to get 2 snowflakes exactly the same, and all based on a hexagon, a six-sided figure. And so that takes some creative doing, and the Lord has done that. But then not only is it a wonderful evidence of his creative ability, but also illustrates his power, because there's nothing so fragile as a snowflake. And yet we read continually in our western provinces of the avalanches where the snow comes down of a mountain doing about 200 miles an hour. It's just snowflakes coming down. And the air blast ahead of an avalanche is so great that it could blast a house to smithereens. And so you get the power of a simple thing like a snowflake. And somebody said too about the glaciers, before whose silent power the hardest granite crumbles to dust. So you imagine breaking granite with dust and with snowflakes. And yet that's what the Lord does here. So those who say there's no God, the evidence of God is there for all to see. Now, the next time that you feel in your mind you want to criticize and complain because of the snow, there's more snow to be dug and so on, remember, who gave it? God gave it. And it's not a good thing to grumble against the Maker and our God. So, folks, keep that in mind. The greatness of the Lord is evidence in the storm of snow. Now I want to get on to this thing, the coldness of the heart. In the Psalms, it tells us, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. And that's good advice. But the word burden there is the word gift. So when you're going through difficult times and trying times, God is saying, cast thy gift upon the Lord. It's not a burden, but it's a gift rather. And likewise, if you come to this study here, you discover that the Christian life is made up of a series of ups and downs. There is the ebbing of the tide and the flowing of the tide. There is the cold and there is the hot. And sometimes we pass through extremely trying times. And yet the psalmist says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. So sometimes the Lord sends the shower of rain, sometimes he sends the snowfall, and he sends it for a purpose, and it is a purpose to be worked out in our lives. And friends, the snow comes here, it helps to water the ground and prepare for the sowing of the seed and the protection of the seed in due time. And the Lord, he sends the seasons, and the cold serves God's use. Now that brings us to the matter of a personal longing. If we as a people never experienced warmth, but we are like the people up in the northern climes of this country, lived in perpetual snow and ice, we wouldn't know any different. But when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you feel the warmth of the blessing of God in your life, the cold does not lie well with you. And we need to pray that the Lord would give us the realization of the personal longing within our souls. You see, when it gets very, very cold here, Florida becomes a very nice option, and people begin to look forward to getting down there to warmer climes and so on. And in the spiritual sense, when the heart is cold, we cry out in the words of the hymn, where is the blessedness I knew when first I came to the Lord? And not only that, but there is the situation that we begin to think about our prayer life? Our prayer life, is it warm and vibrant, or is it cold and lifeless? Some people, when I was a young fellow, that the idea of going to a prayer meeting was the last thing in the world that I want to do. But then I came to Lord Jesus Christ and now love to go to the prayer meeting and meet with the people of God, joining our prayers together before the throne of the heavenly grace. So it's good. But sometimes our prayers become very, very cold and they become lifeless and they bother us. The number of times I felt, O Lord, thou hast opened up the doors of heaven in answer to our prayers, and yet, Lord, we are so hesitant and so weak in appropriating the promises of God. My friend, is your prayer life cold and lifeless? Then you take our Bible reading, and God has given us here the greatest of all books. You go into any bookstore and you find the truth of Solomon's word that of the making of many books, there is no end. But here is the book of books, the Bible, the Word of God. And yet, as you read it, is it warming your soul? Are you feeling good about reading some new promise out of the Word of God? Or do you read the Bible with a cold and lifeless heart? Sometimes that happens to every believer, that your prayers become cold, that your Bible reading becomes cold. And then the service that we do for God, He has called us to work and to labor for Him. Is our service also cold and lifeless? Is the ice and the snow come about our lives so that we are not bringing forth that warmth that we ought to bring? And so it is good just to stop at times and ask ourselves and examine ourselves, Lord, exactly where am I? But there is encouragement for us, because when the Lord sends snow and frost to this world and to this country, it has a good thing that it keeps the germs down. It also deals with the insects. I often say on a cold day, not too many mosquitoes about today, because they're not there, and it keeps them down. And so there is a good side to the frost and the snow that comes, because there's a mercy in frost. And there's also a mercy in the spiritual frost that comes to us, because in the case, the natural case, the seeds are sown and they're covered by the snow and they're protected by the snow, waiting for the warmth to come, and then they begin to grow and to germinate. And likewise, the seeds that are sown in our hearts, the seeds of the Word of the Lord, sometimes they lie dormant in our souls and they don't warm us. But then the Lord, He does something and they become a very real to us. I got a great encouragement. I was over there in Northern Ireland just a couple of weeks ago. I met a young man in the, well, not so young now, met a young man in the hall of the Banbridge Church. And he comes up to me with that usual statement that leaves you, do you know who I am? And all I say, well, the face is familiar, but I can't really put a name to the face. And he says, I am Jim Menis. And I said, Jim Menis? It's you? Now, Jim Menis was in our church in Tandragee when I was there back in the early 70s. And he used to play around with my son Stephen, who's here, and also with my daughter Jill. As little kids, they were playing together. But there's one thing about Jim Menis that bothered me, and that was he showed no spiritual interest whatever. And we prayed for him, and we wondered if he'd ever get right with the Lord. His mother was the organist in the Tandragee Church, and a more godly woman you would never meet. She just died a few months ago, a lovely woman. And here is Jim standing. He says, I'm saved now. What a blessing that was. I'm saved, and he says, just a few weeks ago, they elected me as a committee member or a deacon in the Banbridge Church. Well, that was just a real blessing to my soul, because the seed was sown way back 40 years ago. And here's a fella that the Lord touched, and that seed lying dormant and cold all of a sudden was wakened by the power of Almighty God. And so for those of you who have been praying for loved ones, don't give up, because they may be covered by the snow of spiritual coldness right now, but they can be resurrected from that death by the power of the Lord. Another great blessing to me was my sister Yvonne. Yvonne had, as far as I could see, gotten away from the Lord. But this time, I went along to our presbytery. I met the minister of our Bangor church. By the way, he says, your sister is coming to our church and has been coming since last summer, along with her daughter. I met my sister and her daughter, and both of them showed tremendous change. Now going on well with the Lord. You see, the seed sown, it did bring forth in due time by the power of the living God. So friends, be encouraged. Don't give up on your loved ones. Keep praying. Pray through. And you never know when you get a blessing like we got there in Banbridge just a few weeks ago. When you have this cold around, what you have to do is to wait for the sun to come. Jesus is referred to in the last book of the Old Testament as the Son of Righteousness, who hath arisen with healing in his wings. And thank God there is healing for those who are cold and desperate and need the Lord. Now let's close by looking at the cure of this problem, and that is spiritual coldness. God is the one who gives snow. He says that there clearly. He calls it his snow, and he calls it his cold. So God is the one who gives these things. He gives the frost and the snow and the ice and the cold. But also, he gives us his wind and his word. As you read there in verse number 18, he sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. The Spurgeon told about how wonderful it was. They had a heavy snowfall in London area, and he was looking out over the fields all covered in snow. And the next day he says, marvelous, look out, the same fields all green. How that the snow, there was a heavy snow and a heavy frost, and all of a sudden a heavy thaw, and the thing disappeared. And he said it was so wonderful just to see that. Now, as we drive up and down in the wintertime, and you go up through the agricultural areas, and you look at the fields, and you see them covered with ice and snow, you wonder, will the grass ever grow again? Will the grass ever recover from that? Will the leaves of the trees ever come back again, because it looks so cold and so uninviting? And yet we know that thawed by the sun, as the sun rises, the snow melts and the frost melts, and it is thawed by the grace of the Lord our God. And my friend, let me remind you that if you're going through right now a time where you feel the coldness in your prayer life, the coldness in your Bible reading, the coldness in any service that you do for God, well, there's some things you need to do, and that is to be patient and to wait, because it says God sendeth out his word. And in your bulletin today, you have there on the back of it the Bible readings for the next month. And friends, let me encourage you to read your Bible every day. And as you begin to read, before you even start to read, pray in your heart, Lord, show me something new from thy word today. And you'll find that as the Lord sends his word and sends you a word that will meet the need of your heart at that given time, you'll find the warmth of the Spirit of God dwelling in your heart, and you'll find yourself being warmed again, and you'll find that the Word of God is not a closed book to you, but is something that is fresh every day. But friends, that needs discipline. And part of the problem with believers, myself included, it's very hard to be disciplined. The word disciple comes from discipline. And so we have to discipline ourselves to read the Word. Now, whether you use the program given in the bulletin or some other one or one of your own, what you do need to do is to read every day. And as you read every day, you'll find God will speak to you. He'll point out things that you never saw before, and your heart is warmed. And the ice begins to melt, and the snow begins to melt, and you feel so much better. Then we need to also wait and pray that the wind of God would blow. We were singing earlier, "The wind of God, come bend us, break us, till humbly we confess our need." Now remember that the wind that brings cold and the chill factor in the wintertime is the same wind that brings the warmth in the summertime, the springtime in the summer, and the fall. And so we need to pray, "Lord, bring that wind." We need to have the Spirit of God moving in our lives and blowing upon us. He is the holy breath of God. And thank God when He moves in our hearts and lives. And He dwells within the believer. He's within us all the time. And our bodies are owned by Him. We need to pray, "Lord, do Thine own quickening work." He is the quickener. He is the one who is the regenerator, who gives us life and who quickens us. And so we need to pray, "Lord, let the wind of God come and bend us and break us." Down in New Hampshire this past week, they had a rough week. They had winds measured at 140 miles an hour on top of Mount Washington down there. And in one of the seaside resorts, 95 miles an hour. In David's area, they were 75 miles an hour, and several trees come down in the area. The wind blew, but who can stand against the wind of the Holy Spirit when He moves in the heart of a believer who's desperately looking for the warmth of the work of the Holy Ghost? And then we need to pray too and to wait, "Lord, let the water begin to flow," because it tells us there in verse 18, "He sendeth out His word and melteth them. He causeth His wind to blow and the waters flow." I think this is coming up to one of the nicest times of the year here. I'm always on the lookout for a robin. And I saw some real robins over there in Northern Ireland, by the way. What you have actually is a thrush with a red breast, but that's another matter altogether. I always like to see your thrushes with the red breast coming back. And every year I mark down my diary the first time I saw one out there today looking any robins around. I did see a cardinal, but I didn't see any robins, but not be too long until they come. And they are the good news harbingers, because they tell us that the time of the frost and the snow is coming to an end, and we're going to enjoy the warmth and the blessing of Almighty God. Now, this morning, the pastor reminded you that the Lord moves in due time. "Humble thyself under the mighty hand of the Lord, and He will exalt you in due time." God is His time. And we know in the natural sense, we're coming towards, hopefully, the end of winter and heading towards the spring. It's always nice to look forward, but God will not send the summer today or on the 1st of March. It won't happen. It'll come in due time. And so the Lord, He works with us, and He wants us to have a patient discipline waiting for the Lord to send His wind and His word in due season. And as the sun gets closer to us, it gets warmer and warmer, and we look out for the harbingers of spring. What a wonderful picture you have in the Song of Solomon in chapter 2. And you have this about the Lord Jesus Christ. "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, and the time of the singing of the birds is come, and the voice of the turtle," and that's the turtle dove, "is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." What a blessing it is when the Lord draws near to His people, and we take time to sit at His feet. One of the things I like to do I'm not sure that my wife's so happy about it, but very often I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and just go down to my study and sit and read and pray. Now, what a blessing it is. No telephone, no distractions. Just sit there, and the presence of the Lord is so sweet, and it does you good. And friends, if you're cold in the heart, you don't have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, but you'll find that if you do take time to meditate upon His Word, you will be greatly blessed, and it'll not be long until the time of the singing of the birds in your soul has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in your heart and soul. May the Lord bless each one of us and draw us ever closer to Him. And if today you've got the cold and the ice and the snow round about your heart, do pray, Lord, send Thy word and melt it. Send Thy wind and cause the waters to flow. The waters of revival, there shall be showers of blessing. The Lord tells us it's a promise of the Word of God. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee tonight for the Word of the living God. And Lord, we do confess at times that we become cold at heart, cold in our discipline, cold in our prayer life, cold in our reading of the Word and of our service for God. But our Father, we thank Thee that Thou dost send the cold sometimes to awaken us and to remind us that there is the warmth, the warm rays of the Sun of Righteousness, and there is the help of the Holy Spirit. We ask, here, Father, that Thou would draw each of Thy children very, very near to Thee. In ourselves, Lord, we are nothing and we can do nothing. But we thank Thee for the presence and the power of the living God. And Father, our prayer would be that Thou would make us, each one of us individually and collectively, to be the sort of Christians that Thou dost want us to be in this desperate age in which we live. O God, come now, bless and refresh, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.